Well, Mother's Day is tomorrow, a day of honor towards our mothers. And of course, we do show honor throughout the entire year. We should on to our mothers, our fathers. So that should be every day. So maybe Mother's Day should be every day, or maybe it feels like that for you all. But we are to show honor all the time to mothers, fathers, grandmothers, mother-in-laws, believe it or not. And I know you have, I'm sure you have a five mother-in-law jokes that you can, you know, on your hand that you probably rattle off. But we're to show respect and love and honor to our mother-in-laws, father-in-laws too. But showing honor and respect towards others is becoming a fairly uncommon attribute in the world today, in today's society. And I don't know why the news covers so much on the Johnny Depp trial, but that seems to be very popular. People want to see the dishonor in the marriage and all of the dirty laundry that's being aired for everybody to see, and really the dishonor that was shown to each other. And I occasionally will see it, but I'm not really interested, because especially if we have the mandate to meditate on things that are uplifting and of good report, you think, well, you know what, let's just not even think about that or focus on that. But that's the world we live in. It is a world and society in which, you know, marriage, you don't find sometimes that honor and love and respect. It's maybe an uncommon thing. In Kansas City today, the individual who gave the sermonette was talking about how a very angry woman approached him and started kind of asking him, well, how long have you been married for? Just an angry voice caught him off guard, and he said, 25 years, I believe that's what it was at the time. And he said, oh, it can be done. He just thought that was a weird experience, you know. But maybe she didn't have a very happy marriage. I mean, she was just disgruntled about that. And, you know, and then saw these two, and they were, you know, holding. If you know the MacArthurs, you know, they're a very sweet couple. And you can just look at them and just see the love between the two, much like the Mascards. And many of you out there as well. But, you know, that must have been something that really stuck out to her. And so she put him on the spot. Well, how long have you been married? And she was very disgusted with her own, it seemed like. But, you know, honor is something that is considered abnormal in this society today. And I think that's part of why there is so much burnout, or there's a kind of a wearing out of the saints. Because the world that we live in, it is a dishonorable society for the most part. It's not as if one is showing honor to the other, and you know, this can really wear on one another. It's a form of love and respect, honor is, and it really it's a care for one another. And so this attitude that permeates society, a lack of honor, it can really wear a person down. And I do believe that that is one of the reasons, or one of the reasons why anxiety, depression, fear, worry—it is climbing in society, and there isn't that care and love that one feels from coworkers, from individuals, and it is a world that is seemingly spinning out of control. And as God's people, you can feel the effects of that. It can wear one down. The overall effects of rudeness or dishonor, stress, disrespect, and just an overall lack of consideration towards one another. We know that the love of many will wax cold at the end times, and there is going to be the perilous times. I'd like to start by turning to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, and starting in verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. And, you know, why is that? Is it just because there's just going to be stressful times? No, it's because there's certain attitudes that are going to be very prevalent, that's really driving the perilous times. In the heading of my Bible, it says perilous times and perilous men. And so there's stressful men, there's perilous men, and as a result of these attitudes, there's the stressful times that we will feel. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. That in itself, lovers of money, it will create a stressful environment. So many individuals that I talk to within their workplace, they say they're scaling back, but they expect the same workload. And why? Well, because of money and greed. And so it's creating a hardship on many individuals. They feel the stress of always being behind, having this high quota and expectation without the resources to deliver that commodity. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. This again is another trait that will create stress. Now you see see stressful situations. Maybe you're in line waiting in the checkout and you see a little kid just screaming at their parent, like they're the boss. Not respectful. And that creates its own stress. That it's in itself is a tragedy, that there's not that honor and respect to their parents. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. Slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. You know, the brutality, just a cold heart. Just don't care for you at all. Just a brutal mindset. That will bring about a certain amount of stress. Despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. So we see the attitudes. We see what is driving the perilous times, what will wear one down. And we see that our response is that we are to shun that way of life. We are to turn from it. We are not to be a part of it. You know, so much of the descriptions here and the details, it is not honorable. It's disrespect. And so we, who are to set a light and be an example, we should have honor. That should be a prevailing attribute in our lives, honor and respect towards one another, and rise above that attitude that will be prevailing. We have to be careful. We do have to be very careful that these, overarching attitudes that are infiltrating society do not cause a snowball effect in our own lives. We live in the world. We work out in the world. And what do we do with some of the stress that we feel? Do we take it back home? And that many times that can happen, where it's that snowball effect. You feel it. You feel the stress. You do all you can to be a peacemaker, and it's all you can do all day long to keep your mouth shut, to bite your tongue. And then you get home, and what could happen? You kick the dog. You yell at the TV and yell at the coaches for not coaching good or whatever. May not have a dog, may not have a team that you enjoy, but you get the point. It can affect. It can spill over. It can bleed through into the family unit, and those family units that are very precious to God and to you and I, and it's something that we should be working so hard to have integrity and honor within that family unit. Satan is trying to infiltrate, and he will do it through the stresses that you feel at work and bring that over into your home, into your household. And we must be careful. We must separate from that worldly attitude and have a holy attitude full of honor and respect. So we can't allow ourselves to show honor once. Mother's Day is not a once in a time, once in a year, thing where we show honor. We should show honor throughout the entire year. And that's our goal. That's the way we live life. But we do show special honor on the National Day of Honor for Mother's Day. But honor, it's a lifelong duty in marriage, in a family, between one another. Honor and respect is so key. And so we must ask the question, is honor abounding in our lives? We know it's not abounding in the world that we live in. But is honor valuable to you? Is it valuable to me? What does honor mean to you? And today I would like to look at three types of honor, three ways that you show honor. Really, if you look at the definition of honor, it's three separate definitions from different resources. And that is what I would like to look at today. Help us define what honor is. And what does honor exactly look like? Honor can be expressed in a variety of ways, but how would you describe honor? What is honor? Now, according to Webster's Dictionary and a couple of other sources, honor can be described in three basic ways. One, special esteem and respect or reverence. One, special esteem, respect, or reverence. Two, glory or recognition. And three, dignity according to position. So, special esteem, respect, or reverence. Two, glory or recognition. And three, dignity according to position. Let's look at these three definitions a little more deeply as we look at honor. So the first is special esteem, respect, or reverence. How can we show special esteem towards our mother, towards our spouse, and really towards God as we strive to show honor towards one another? That is the main reason, because we do fear God and we want to show respect and honor to God. But how do we do that? You know, part of showing special esteem towards one another, or especially your mother or your father, has to do with realizing what they have done for you. What they have done for you. Not only have they laid down their lives for you in trying to provide and working for you and giving all that they have for you as a living sacrifice, but, you know, they gave life to you through God, allowing them to give life to you. There has to be a recognition that you have life because of them. Now, every mother or father, they may not have set the best example over the years. But that does not, in all things, we know no one is perfect, but there should still be honor and reverence towards your mother or your father, that they have given life to you. And so there is that understanding, that special esteem that is desired to be given. And understanding what they have done for you, in turn, makes us want to show care for them and hold them highly and in special esteem. They have cared for us, and we want to care for them and hold them in high esteem. It's fascinating that what takes place with a baby and a mother during pregnancy. When pregnant, the cells of a baby migrate into the mother's bloodstream and then circulates back into the baby. It's called fetal maternal chimerism. And you can look that up yourself. There's a lot more information you can find on that. But some research indicates that, you know, if a mother has an issue or maybe even a heart issue, the fetal cells will rush to the site of the injury and change it into different types of cells that specialize in mending the heart. The baby helps to repair the mother while the mother builds the baby. And they attribute this phenomenon to why certain illnesses vanish sometimes during pregnancy. There's also, I guess you could say, it's a type of mutual care for one another. And the mother's body protects the baby at all costs, and the baby helps to rebuild the mother back. That is the, you know, so the baby can develop safely and survive. So it's interesting what is taking place, that there is this mutual care. And if you think about the life cycle, mother and child in life, you know, the mother takes care, protects, nurtures, comforts, gives care to that child. And as they get older, the child takes care of the mother. And the roles kind of change in that way, and it kind of mimics what goes on in the womb. But this is a part of showing respect and holding them in high esteem, to show love, to take care of them, and to make sure they are taken care of. Hold them in special esteem. And so we can never think that, that we are above showing this type of honor to our mother or to our father, taking care of them. Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, was concerned about his mother even at the point that he was dying, even when he was nailed to the stake. John 19 and verse 25. John 19 and verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour that disciple took her to his own home. So while he was fighting for his life, while he was about to die, he was thinking, he was concerned about his mother. He knew that she would be alone, and he wanted John to make sure that he would care for her. And he wanted her to know that she could call on John at any time. And he basically is saying, "Mother, don't worry. John will be there to take care of you." Yeah, he was taking care of family members while dying on the stake. So, you know, part of showing honor and holding one in high esteem is making sure that they are taken care of. It shows thankfulness, it shows gratitude, it shows love. And it's a part of acknowledging the fact and realizing what they have done for you over the years. It's a showing thankfulness. It is a part of showing that esteem. Holding them in high esteem and thankfulness. Abraham Lincoln is quoted as saying, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother," is what he said. He also said, "I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life." George Washington is quoted as saying, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." You know, this is a type of praise and blessing that any mother would like to hear. And it shows honor to them. It's wonderful that a mother would receive that honor from their child. Proverbs 31 and verse 28. You think about the virtuous wife, virtuous mother. You know, there's a response for the great love and care that a woman has for her family, for her children. Proverbs 31 and verse 28. "Her children," this is the response for her actions, her loving actions, "that her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." So you have her children that bless her and praise her. You have her husband that is giving honor to her. And even her actions praise her. Her honorable actions come around full circle. So, you know, of course, mothers desire this response from their children. And this is where a mother receives honor in direct communication from their children. And that's a way of showing special esteem. It's a part of special esteem being shown and respect. Special esteem and respect was shown to Timothy's mother on behalf of the Apostle Paul. Now, how would you like, as a mother, how would you like to have received encouragement and be held in high esteem from the Apostle Paul for your actions? But this is what he did, and he was showing honor to Timothy's mother and grandmother. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 3. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 3. And he was giving praise and honor, attributing part of his ability to faithfully teach as something that was obviously passed down from his mother, from his grandmother, and their example of teaching and faithful actions from them. He says, "I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing. I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first with your grandmother, Lois, and with your mother, Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also." You know, this genuine faith, this example that was there, he attributed part of that with his mother, with his grandmother. "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So he acknowledges, you know, there's this positive influence. There was a very positive influence from his mother, from his grandmother, that helped shape him and his faithfulness. Maybe allowed him to be more of a faithful teacher. But the positive effects from a good teacher and a good example of a mother, you know, really, it should not be ignored. It should not be forgotten. In Proverbs 1 and verses 8 through 9, won't turn there, but we're told, "My son, hear the instructions of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be graceful ornaments on your head and chains around your neck." Expositor's commentary says this about one who takes heed to his father and mother's instructions. "For heeding the instructions of the law, the disciple is promised an attractiveness of life, grace, the charm that teaching brings to the disciple, refers to those qualities that make him agreeable. And the metaphor compares these qualities to an attractive wreath worn around the head. Obedience will thus improve the disciple, and the one who loses the rough edges through disciplined training will present a pleasing presence to the world." So as a result of the teaching and training being adhered to, now they're able to go out into the world and set a good example and be pleasing to others around them, attributing to the response to their father and mother's instructions. Now, does this mean that mother's advice has always been correct throughout the years? No. No one is perfect, but there's still that honor that is there, and there's still many times you can reflect and look on the good that they taught. You know, I mean, many who have come out of the world, it was their father and mother who taught them to believe in Santa Claus, and then, you know, later told them it was a lie. Well, I'm not showing honor to her anymore. You know, I'm not showing honor to him. No, of course not. We will still show honor and respect for the good that they did teach and the training that they did provide. But the Apostle Paul gave special esteem to Timothy's mother. And a mother can receive special esteem and respect from their children, in this case from the Apostle Paul, and hopefully from their husbands. Husbands who give honor and special esteem to their wife will make it easier on the children to show honor and respect to their mother. The most recent Discern magazine, there was an article written by Mr. Bruce Gore entitled "The Importance of Mothers," And in it, he says, the mother of my children gave me balance. He says, as a man and father, I found my wife often helped me to see things from a different perspective. I owe what balance I have to the counsel and example of my mother. Of my children, I sorely miss her. There's no love among humans that can match or exceed that of the unconditional love of a mother. When our daughters were married and began to have their babies, my wife would always travel to be with them for the first week or two. It was just natural for her to fulfill the exhortation Paul wrote in Titus 2 and verse 3 through 4. So when a husband recognizes the great importance of his wife and he shows high esteem to her, he shows special esteem, he shows honor to his wife, this is setting the example for the children. This is paving the way for them to naturally show honor as well. If one is putting their wife down and, kind of always putting her in her place in that regard, the children are going to follow suit. They're going to be less respectful in that way. Who is the bride of Christ referred to? Of course, we know it's referred to as the church. And Christ loves the church and shows honor, treats the church with love. And we are to love as Christ loved the church, to show honor. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. There's so much emphasis on showing that honor that's due. It could even hinder one's prayers with God. There is to be that honor, and they're to cherish their wife. Of course, wives, in the previous verses, it says that wives are to strive to be gentle with hidden beauty. As we're told, let it be the hidden person of the heart, which with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Now, does that mean there's no extroverts? God doesn't like extroverts. No, it's not true. You know, everybody's going to have their personality, but kindness is a fruit of God's Spirit. Gentleness, kindness. That's the fruit of God's Spirit. And men should also be gentle and kind. But there's also the admonition towards the wife and mothers. There is to be that gentle, quiet spirit, and that's precious in the sight of God. But there is to be, as we just read in verse 7, there is to be that honor that is there from the husband. Ephesians 5 and verse 22. And, before marriage, everybody has read through these verses, and you look at, well, this is my role, this is what I'm to do. But it's not as if we don't go back and review this from time to time. And we should, and be reminded of how we should respect each other. As there is a parallel, a great parallel there. Verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So, the way a wife would show respect and honor to her husband, it says, as to the Lord. So how would you treat Jesus Christ? How would you treat him? What type of honor would you show? And vice versa, in the respect and honor that we would show. How much does Jesus Christ love the church? Well, he laid down his life. He's a living sacrifice for the church. And a husband is to lay down his life for his spouse, for his wife. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. He might present her to himself a glorious church, You know, that's a part of honor. But he is doing something with the church right now and creating a holy group, a holy unified church. And so there will be a glorious church. There is honor that he is instilling in the church. He might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nurtures and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Well, thinking about the family unit as a whole, it's all about honor and respect and love. There's honor from the wife to the husband. There's honor to be shown in respect from the husband to the wife. And then as we go on, chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So you see the honor from husband, wife. You see the honor to be shown to the parents. And then you show even respect to the children and not provoking. It's a household, it's a family unit based on respect and honor and love. There's honor and respect from both the husband and the wife and the children and both. And so, you know, this is a part of showing special esteem as well to our mothers. You know, if a husband is showing that respect and love to the spouse, to his wife, the children are going to be more apt to showing love and honor to their mother. Okay, going on to point number two. The other part of the definition is glory and recognition. Glory and recognition. Now, a lot of lifting up one or showing recognition or giving glory and honor in that way has to do with how we communicate with one another, how we communicate with our mother. It's a major part of honor, how we communicate. And now, communication and showing honor and recognition, yes, it involves speaking kindly, it involves being encouraging, it involves giving thanks, not back-talking to mothers, you know, learning not to back-talk as children to our mothers. But also a part of how we communicate is also how often we communicate. Can you really show the proper recognition and glory to our mothers and show that proper honor if there isn't that communication? How often is that communication? Now, everything within balance, you know, it's not as if I talk to my mom for 2 hours on the phone and I talk to my wife for about 10 minutes a day. You know, it's like there has to be that right and proper balance. But you know, I talk to my mom once every 3 years. Isn't that enough? No, I probably need to talk more. Well, I talk to my mother-in-law. I talk to her once a year at Thanksgiving. I talk to her, I try to carve out that special time at Thanksgiving during the movies where they don't allow you to talk. And, you know, isn't that enough? You know, well, you're to be quiet in the movie theater. Well, hey, that's the time I set to talk to my mother-in-law, right? But, amount of time and how often we speak speaks volumes with honor and respect and love. And, seeking out communication is a part of that proper recognition and honor. Alexander Graham Bell, he's made it very easy for you and I to communicate. He's made it exceptionally easy. And it's a great invention, you know. But we don't really have an excuse as to why we would not communicate with one that we love in that way to show honor. It's not as if we have a can and a string attached to it, and well, you know, they don't have the other end of the can. I don't think I'm going to be able to talk today. I've looked into telegrams. Do you realize how expensive a telegram is today? And we have a phone, and it's revolutionary, and it has been since 1876. So we have a way that we can communicate. And it's interesting that, you know, Alexander Graham Bell, who was associated with, at least with the patent, but he spent a lot of time and research that went into it. But partly it was, you know, he sought out this form of communication because his mother and his wife were both deaf. And so he had a special interest in sound communication. And this is one of the reasons that kind of drove him to do the research with the technology. And, you know, it was in some way to show honor to his mother, to his wife. There's a family in Kansas City. You probably know them, Aaron and Ashley Hilgen. But her mother, who recently died of cancer, she was deaf. And out of honor for her mother, you know, she learned sign language, and so did Aaron, and they did that, you know, to show honor to their mother, her mother, and it was to seek out communication with her, and it was, they set a really good example. They nurtured the relationship and really helped her out so much in this past couple years. Parents desire communication with their children. They want to be sought out. This gives honor and recognition to them. And there are parallels on why we would want to do that, not only to our mother, but if you think about prayer, if you think about going to God and communication and going to Him often, you know, how does God view your prayers? Is He tired of them when, you know, I don't want to hear them? I don't. It's them again. You know, why? Well, I don't want to hear from them. How does He look at prayers from His sons and daughters? Does He appreciate it when we pray to Him? Well, just as a mother or a father appreciates those visits, the phone calls, the communication, and there's honor there, God the Father greatly appreciates the prayers of His people. Revelation 5 and verse 8. Revelation 5 and verse 8. Now when He had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. You know, incense in golden bowls, you know, a sweet-smelling aroma, sweet-smelling sacrifice is coming before the throne of God. Do we think of it in this way? Do we view our prayers as something God looks forward to and enjoys? Or do we look at it as, well, probably bothering Him? How does a mother and a father view those visits, the phone calls? It's precious and sweet to them. Acts 10 and verse 1. Acts 10 and verse 1. Cornelius, a Gentile, had something very honorable that was said about his prayers. Acts 10, and starting in verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. So he was very fervent in prayer. He was persistent in prayer. He was diligent with prayer. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. A memorial. You know, he remembers our prayers. He looks forward to the conversations with us. He anticipates hearing from us. It's our way of building that relationship and showing love and really giving honor to the Creator of the universe in acknowledgement for what He has done for us. Our prayers are not a distraction to God. They're not a bother to Him. They, I guess we could say, almost as they make His day. And there are many excuses for why one maybe does not pray, but they're just excuses. But, you know, sometimes the excuse is, well, you know, I've sinned, and God isn't hearing me anyways. I don't know what to pray about. My prayers are repetitious, and God says, you know, don't do that. Well, you know, and sometimes there are going to be those times where maybe you feel like there is that separation. You get down on your knees and you start praying, or maybe your mind goes blank. And you're, you know, why is there this disconnect? Or sometimes you do feel as if maybe your prayers are hindered. And that can be a good indication as well. Maybe it is time to fast. Maybe it is time to start a fast. And then see after that if it's a little better connection there. But maybe another feeling is, you know, I get down on my knees and my mind goes blank. You know, I get all set up and then my mind wanders and I get discouraged. Have you ever started praying and then, you know, you hear the birds chirping outside or whatever, you know, you start getting distracted. That can happen. And my schedule is so hectic, I just didn't have time to pray. I intended to, but something came up and I forgot about it, and then I was exhausted. It was already night. You know, He already knows that I appreciate Him. He already knows my needs. He doesn't probably want to hear from me anyways. You know, part of going to God in prayer is to show honor to God. Do we acknowledge, do we recognize all that He has done for us? Thankfulness is a big part of prayer. Praying for others is a big part of prayer. Praying about His kingdom to come is a big part of prayer. A major part of praying each day is so that we recognize, so that we do show honor to our Creator. You know, in this world, it's going to continue to get more stressful. It's going to become more difficult. And this could create a dichotomy if we're not careful, because the more stressful it gets and the more Satan is trying to wear out the saints, is it going to be easier to pray or more difficult? More difficult. And so you may come to a point where there's less prayer going on, but yet there's more stress, and that can create a bigger gap. Less stress, more prayer, maybe that's going to be better, but we can't, you know, it's going to become more difficult, more stressful, which means we may need to pray more and not less. But there's going to probably be that urge to drift, to pray less, even though we need to be praying more. When wrestling with discouragement, if we aren't careful, we can exacerbate the problem. And instead of drawing closer to God, we can crowd Him out and be consumed with the problem, be consumed with the distraction, and forget that God promises to help us in our time of need. Hebrews 7 and verse 24. We have a wonderful advocate. We have a wonderful helper. And Jesus Christ makes intercessions for us to the Father. We go to the Father, and we, you know, there is our high priest who can sympathize with all areas of temptation that we've ever had. He can sympathize with what it's like to be human. He knows what it feels like to have stress and anxiety and worry and fear. And we can go to God the Father and Jesus Christ and make intercessions for us. Hebrews 7 in verse 24. Hebrews 7 in verse 24. But He, because He continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercessions for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. And we can go to God the Father, and we have Jesus Christ at His right hand, and makes intercessions for us. He's very willing to help us. And we are to go to God for help in the trials that we face. You know, how many times, you know, when growing up, something happens, you're stressed, you call mom. I need help. What's going on? You know, you explain what's going on. Or you call dad, you know, and you talk about the problems you talk about. And you feel, you know, they may feel a greater weight on their shoulders, but you feel better. And it's, you know, because they feel like, you know, dad and mom, they take care of it. They take care of it all. You know, and you can go to them. Well, that relationship changes and a child grows older and they start building that relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. And we go to him. And in all things, we go to him and acknowledge that he has the answers for everything. Proverbs 3, this is one of my favorite scriptures and probably one of the first scriptures that I memorized and as a child. Proverbs 3, and starting in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, with your whole heart, trust in him, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. You know, and so much growing up, so many times, you know, a child can be hesitant with their actions. Well, should I do this? What should I do? Mom, dad, what do I do? You think I should do this? You know, in all their ways. And a parent is going to give them guidance and teach them. Well, that we go to God and we acknowledge him in all of our ways. And he shall direct your path. So this should be comforting to know that he's there, that he does provide help, that he does direct your paths if we acknowledge him in all our ways. Do we go to him? Do we trust in him with all of our heart? You know, a survey by Pew Research revealed that 1 in 3 between the ages of 18 and 29 seldom never prays. And I think part of that has to do with, well, where do I begin? I don't even know how. Will he hear me? You know, start off gradually. Go to the model prayer and has an outline and take pieces from that and start praying about that. Pray for others. Give thanks. You could have a prayer of nothing but thankfulness, what you're thankful for. That would be a great way of starting out a prayer life, acknowledgement. But, you know, just start. But there's, you know, not too many that in that age group of 18 to 29 that actually pray. Of that group, they say maybe 1 in 10 prays at least daily. And the percentages were higher among the older groups, revealing a trend of declining use of prayer as a form of worship or communication with God. A father and a mother do appreciate it when their children confide in them, when they go to them for help, when they look to them, when they seek out. That there's recognition. There's a certain honor that's there. And we go to God in that way, and we show him respect, we show him honor. And we do acknowledge he does have the answers. And Proverbs 15 and verse 8, won't turn there. It says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. You know, he delights in our prayers. We take time to pray. It is a delight to him. It's a way of glorifying God and acknowledging his greatness and acknowledging his omnipotence. You know, how we pray will either glorify him or not. And part of how we pray, okay, we say how often, or when we go, you know, communication, if you did not talk to your mother very much, it's not much honor that's being shown. But, you know, when it goes to prayer, well, how often, that's a big contributing factor, is showing honor. But also, you know, how we pray, and are we giving the proper time and respect? Are we focused or are we distracted in our prayers? You know, if we're having a conversation with our mother and we can't even hardly give them our focus or attention, or your mother wants to talk to you, yeah, mom, what's going on? You know, if there's that distraction, is that showing honor? Are we focused when we pray to God? Matthew 6 and verse 5. Matthew 6 and verse 5, and when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. You know, part of why we do that is one, we don't want to make a spectacle of our prayer, do that in public and open. But, you know, it's also to focus on God, it's to show honor to Him. You know, if you interrupt your discussion praying to answer the telephone, you know, what's more important? You know, that's a time to maybe turn off our phone, put it aside, and have that very focused attention. And I was thinking, you know, Patrick Mahomes, or you name whoever you know you would like to meet, whoever it would be, famous hockey player, whatever. you know, you put the name there, but if somebody gave you this individual's phone number, it'll say Patrick Mahomes, and you were able to contact him, and he picked up, and he answered, you got him on the line, and yeah, let's talk, you know, and you're talking to him, how focused would you be on that conversation? Or would you be like, you know, I think I have a spam call coming in. Pat, can you hold on just a second? Let me put you on hold. Yeah, not going to happen. You're going to let that one go through. You're going to be focused. And so here we are praying to the Creator of the universe. There is honor and respect to be shown there. And so we put those distractions aside and we focus. And we find a private room, and we give our attention to the Creator of the universe. There's honor. And when we're talking to our mother or father, we show respect. If they are wanting to talk to you, you give them honor and respect and respond in that way. Jesus Christ went into a solitary, deserted place to pray. And the idea is to get away in a private place where you won't be interrupted, you won't be disturbed. And of course, there's going to be the times where you need to pray in the moment, in your mind. You need to pray at any given time. We pray without ceasing. We pray throughout the day, and we stay in constant contact with our Creator. But we do want to have that time where we can really focus and show honor to God the Father in Jesus Christ. I'll move on to the last point, another last form of honor in defining honor is dignity according to position. And that means that we show honor because we're told to show honor. And in rare occasions, it may just be because they have the title mother. We are to show honor because God says, honor your father and mother. Because he said so, because they have a title, and that is their name, that is their title, that is who they are, and because of that, we are to show honor and respect to our mother. You know, not all mothers have led perfectly. In fact, no mother has led perfectly. But does that mean we do not show honor? No, we show honor to our mothers. We don't have the right to be disrespectful or dishonorable. You know, there may be times where, you know, maybe it was just a horrible relationship growing up. Maybe they, you know, were not in the church or whatever it may be, and they just led a very, very rude life or whatever it is. There may be that distance that's given, but there's still going to be that respect and honor that is to be shown. There's an honor based on the principle of dignity according to position. Let's turn to Exodus 20 in verse 12. It is a command. It is one of the commandments. Exodus 20 in verse 12. And it is a command with promise. Exodus 20 and verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Again, there are many TV shows out there that really teach children to show disrespect to father, to mother. The cartoon The Simpsons, it really was kind of an attack on the family. You have, you know, Bart Simpson calling his dad Homer, you know, calling him by his first name. They make the dad out to be one that just thinks about donuts and kitty cats or whatever it may be, and the children show great disrespect to the father. But there is to be that honor that is there because God commands it in this case. Now, other societies, the Chinese, the Italian, the Africans, some, you know, they hold the elderly in great honor. In the U.S., that is becoming a pastime. There seems to be there much less honor being showed. And while one individual that I worked with, he was Asian, but he was a very difficult person to work with as a coworker, but I did notice how much respect that he had for his mother, and that was because it was taught from youth, and you did not show disrespect to your mother, and he really held her in high esteem because, for one, it was his mother. Mothers are due honor and respect because they are your mother. Who else has been given a title that we are to honor? Let's turn to Leviticus 19 and verse 30. Leviticus 19 and verse 30. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of the old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. There is honor to the elderly because they are your elders. And there is honor to be bestowed because we fear God. There is honor to be given. Who else is in this category? 1 Timothy 5 and verse 3. 1 Timothy 5, and we'll start in verse 1. Do not rebuke an older man. You know, you wouldn't want a child going up to an adult and rebuking them. It's just not appropriate. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows who are really widows. And then it goes over the characteristic traits of a widow, according to the church. But the honor is to be given to widows, honor to widowers, honor to the elderly, to the gray-headed, because we fear God. We hold them in high esteem. Honor is also given to those that God has appointed. We have the example of Elisha, in which the children mocked him. It wasn't because he had gray hair, it was because he was lacking hair. And he, Elisha, and he, with the S, and he was mocked because of his baldness. Go up, bald head, basically, go up in the air like Elijah. And so where double honor was maybe there and appropriate, instead they mocked him and paid a severe consequence for that. And they, 42 lessons of disrespect, I guess you could say. There were two bears, and they mauled 42 of those individuals who were showing disrespect to Elisha. This world is learning the way of disrespect. And as was mentioned at the beginning of the sermon, we must turn away from that dishonor. We must turn away from those attitudes that are creating perilous times, stressful times, and make sure that we are maintaining honor and respect and love in our own lives and to those that we can affect personally. We must focus on showing honor to God, honor to mothers, honor to fathers, honor to those that God has said honor is due. And we do this with the fear of God. Two scriptures to conclude, Romans 13. Romans 13 and verse 1. Romans 13 and verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. For the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those that resist will be brought into judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Paul tells us the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And that means we should obey the civil laws of our country if it doesn't go against God's law. This is a part of honor and respect. One final scripture to conclude, Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Ephesians 6 and verse 1. There's honor to be given because God says to show honor. We honor because we fear God. And this does include our mother. Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, that mean those between the ages of 6 and 12. Those are children. Show honor to your mother. Well, if you were born, you are a child. And there's no age set on this. We are to honor our father and mother. Children, we are all children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. We have an obligation, we have a responsibility, and it should be a joy and a privilege to show honor as we have the opportunity to do so. As they get up in years, you know, our concern becomes even more. There's a song by Ronnie Millsap entitled Old Folks. I'd like to read a small portion of the lyrics. It says, she used to bake the sweetest pies I swear I ever ate. I'd steal the batter from the bowl because I could never wait. But now her hands are bent and sore, arthritis rages wild. But you would never know they hurt the way she always smiles. She believes the world is good and kind, but would love warmer weather. And her grandkids are perfect, though sometimes they forget her. All because she's old, folks. She's old, folks. Blessed is the child of yesterday. Love those old folks. And with a little luck and the Lord to see us through, one day we'll be old folks, too. I hope you all have a wonderful Mother's Day tomorrow. Don't let the stresses of the world affect the honor and respect that you show to your mothers, grandmothers. While the world forgets and is forgetting how to show respect in many different ways, remember your mothers, remember your grandmothers, show love to your spouse, show honor where honor is due. We all have the responsibility to do so, not just because we think they are so great in our eyes, but because we believe God is the greatest. We love God. We honor God, we fear God, and we are to love our mothers.